Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Vintage Church. My name is Tanner, and I'm glad you have joined us on this Labor Day weekend. Welcome if you're visiting with us. We just want to welcome you in a special way. Thanks for being here this week. If you are new, we want to invite you to stick around for the next 6 weeks. We find that, you know, going to churches can be the most awkward thing ever. You know, it's like, if this is new for you, it's challenging. I'm an extrovert. I remember my first time in Vintage Church and being like, oh my goodness, I'm so intimidating right now. So we know it can be very awkward, and I'm an extrovert. So we want to welcome you, and we find that if you come for about 6 weeks, you can find some connections. You can find some friends. You can find out what we believe, like who we are, ways to get plugged into our church. We want to invite you to do that. We've got a ton of ways that you can get connected this fall. So if you pick up an event card, it has everything that we've got going on, and I would love to invite you to join us this fall. We are going through a series called Jesus is Worthy of Our Lives, and on Labor Day weekend, we decided, hey, let's take a pause. We'll go back to our, like, live the gospel theme for the whole year. So actually, we're stepping outside of Corinthians. If you've been with us for a while, we've been in the book of Corinthians this whole year. We're going to be in John 15. And before I say that, I'm really excited too, because Vintage is just a family. You know, Vintage Church is one church in three locations. We've got our church downtown that's worshiping right now. Our church in Durham is worshiping right now. We get to gather here at Vintage Church Midtown and worship. And one thing that's exciting to me is one of our great friends is in the house today. John and Allison Kerr are up this morning, so I'm pumped that you are here. John's our executive pastor of the whole church, and you guys know him as maybe the Scottish pastor, even if you don't know him by name. But like, whenever he talks, like, I want to go into battle with him. You know, I'm like, yes, let's go, like, love this whole city and make disciples of all nations. And so, one, I'm glad that you guys are here this morning. If you know him, you got to welcome him, both of them, this morning. So, man, today I wanted to preach from John 15 because my natural bent, and I think this is just the way a lot of us have grown up, and it's part of our culture in America, is like, we're just, a lot of us are pragmatist. We value and we look at success as kind of like how much stuff we can get done, or we even look at like the way things work as like an importance to go, if will I even do this or not? And Jesus just has like a different way of looking at the world than just pragmatism. And he is going to tell us this morning in this passage about what success really looks like. And he's going to tell us what human flourishing looks like. If you are struggling right now, if you feel like you're kind of like burnt out, if you feel like you don't have fuel, kind of like you're like, how am I going to get through the next year? You just feel like you're kind of going on fumes. I think Jesus would say, hey, pay attention to what I am saying in John 15. Human flourishing revolves around God in a relationship with him. Communion with God is at the heart of humanity. Like, that's what we were designed for, was intimacy with God. Jesus in this passage is going to say 10 times, like 10 times, abide, abide, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. Do you get what I'm saying? I didn't do it 10 times, and you're like, okay, I'm listening. And he doesn't even say, there's some times where he just applies abide. He doesn't even say it. If you counted those times, it's more like 16 or 17 times he's saying, look, be in complete communion with me. And when you are in communion with me, you are going to flourish. And Jesus is going to show us that the Christian life does not look like a factory. It looks like an orchard. or a vineyard. And that's like a really cool thing. You know, weirdly, it doesn't look like a lot of work is going on in an orchard or a vineyard, but it's actually amazing what's going on in those places. So we want to dig in and say, what is Jesus talking about? Talking about this vineyard and this vine. He's talking about human flourishing. Let's dig into this. Today, I want us to see that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. But in Jesus Christ, we not only can do what he needs us to do, but we have everything. So let's look at John 15. But before I do this, let me pray for us and we'll start. God, would you help us today to see your words? Jesus, this message that you gave us in John 15 is you are literally about to walk up. You're walking into a garden. And you are going to pray a prayer that's just in total anguish because you're about to go to the cross for us. These are like some of your last words to us. The thing that you think is just so critical, God, is that we are just in communion with you. So God, would you help us see your words this morning? Would you help us see what we need in this time, in this place. God, work in your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in John 15, Jesus is giving some of his last words to his disciples. He's just broken bread with them. He's just given them the Last Supper. And he's literally on his way to get arrested. So we need to consider that as we think about this passage. These are some of the last important words that he is giving to the disciples. This is like of utmost importance. This is literally this is the longest teaching section in the book of John. And he's just teaching his disciples what life is about. And it is amazing. It's all about communion with God. And it culminates in John 17, chapter 17, where he prays that that's exactly what we would have, is just communion with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and ourselves. So I want you to see this as he speaks. So I'm going to reread the whole passage for us, and then we're going to dig into this. John 15, 1 through 11 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus here is giving this again, this last kind of message to his disciples, and he starts us off with this picture. Look at verse 1. He says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. So he starts us in a vineyard. He's actually just taken the Last Supper, and at the Last Supper, there's actually some grapes in a cup that's called wine. I mean, he just took wine, and he gave it to him, and he said, "Hey, this is like the blood. This is my blood that's going to be poured out for you." And now he gives a picture of where that wine came from, the vineyard. He's saying, "I want you guys to see a picture in your head. Picture a vineyard." He's saying, Jesus, am the vine. God the Father is who's caring for it. He's kind of the Father. He cares and he prunes this vineyard. This is what you do and as you care for trees, as you care for vines. The Father actually literally takes care of the root and make sure that the root of this vine has got everything he needs. That's what the vine dresser would do. And then he also cares in terms of, man, where there's dead branches, he cuts them off. Or to be honest, even healthy branches, you prune. You know why you do that? Because healthy branches, when you prune, they make a ton more fruit. So he starts with this picture of, look, I, Jesus, am the vine. Understand that. Understand that the Father, he takes care of me and he takes care of the whole vineyard. And it's interesting, a lot of us, when we read this, we actually kind of get concerned when pruning comes into the picture. Okay, let's talk about the pruning. Like, when you started reading that, I'm getting a little bit nervous. Like, what does God do? Let's look at this. This is verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So there's two types of pruning. And one, when we read this, I think a lot of us go, okay, I think I know what he's talking about the branches. I think he's talking about branches. They're me. You already read it. I know this. Well, he actually says that in verse 5. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So what in the world is this pruning talking about? Because a lot of us, honestly, we feel like, I don't know how much fruit I'm bearing in my life. Is this saying like, what in the world is this fruit? And is this saying that God's just like going to cut me off? I'm going to be thrown into this fire. I'm burned. And it makes us go like, what do I need to do to be able to not be that? And a lot of us are going to be tempted. Like when we just first read this, we're going to think, oh my goodness, I need to start doing. And it's so strange. Jesus is going to say the opposite of this in this passage. You might be going, how do you get this? This is in verse 5. Read verse 5 with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So look at this. He tells us, hey, there's going to be these branches that I prune. They're going to bear more fruit. There's some branches that are dead, though, and I'm cutting them off. And they're just going to be burnt. They're going to be burnt. So the question is, oh, my goodness, I don't want to be burnt. A lot of us are thinking, I don't want burning in my life. How do I avoid the burning? And some of us are going to be like, let me be like a little Pharisee. Let me just do all these good works, good deeds. I'll start reading my Bible more. I'll pray more. I won't smoke. I promise I won't do it, God. And we think that's like what's going to produce fruit in our life. And Jesus is saying, no, look, he tells us the reality. You want to know who's bearing fruit? If you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. If you just stay in me, you will bear fruit. If you leave me, you can do nothing. And this is a great picture, especially it's an interesting picture. I feel like I can see it right now in my backyard. So when we bought our house 4 years ago, it's a wooded lot in Raleigh. We have literally like cut down 150 trees, probably at least. And when you're thinking about like, good day, what are you talking about? I'm talking about trees, like most of those were trees under 4 inches. It's an extremely wooded lot. We've just cut and cut and cut a lot of trees down. Right now, behind our playset, our swing set, I went back behind it into the woods and I was like, I'm gonna even clear this out a little bit so like the kids can like play right here up in the woods. Well, I haven't like burned those things yet, but I pruned the trees. I cut up a lot of the pines and a lot of the trees, and then I cut down a lot of these small saplings. And I'm gonna tell you, it's really easy. If a branch is not on the tree, it dies. If a branch, you know, it says here in this passage, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you want to try to work out your own salvation, which means let me get off the tree, let me get off the vine, let me try to do my own works, I can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to look like my backyard, which is just a lot of dead limbs. It's a slow death. You know, some of you might feel like this, though, where you're like, you know, you've tried to go off basically on your own and say, hey, I need to work out my own kind of salvation before, like, Jesus will accept me, maybe. I need to, like, do all these good things. And it's weird. You know, a branch doesn't immediately get cut off and then the green leaves turn brown. It takes some time. There's still some sap in you. But a lot of us feel like, man, I'm going empty. Kind of starting to, the decay in the leaves is starting to happen. If they were fruit trees, the fruit would start rotting. Goodness, what Jesus is saying is, not go out and do all these good works. Is he saying, stay in me? You can have my righteousness or you can have yours. You were built for relationship with me. I don't run things like a factory. I run things like a vineyard, like an orchard. Do trees work really hard? Do branches that produce real, like fruit, do they like work insanely hard? No, they're just in the tree. When you're part of a healthy tree, you will produce fruit. And you know what the healthiest tree is in this picture? It's Jesus. It's Jesus the vine. In him, you will bear fruit. You do not have to be concerned about your deeds when you're in him. In fact, you'll actually kind of do the opposite. You'll say, man, all my hope, all my righteousness is in him. That's why we even said what we said in our confession. What's our only comfort in life and in death? It's in Jesus. That's my only comfort. That is the only thing that I can take refuge in is in Jesus. Jesus is telling the people of this passage, you can live a religious, moral life without me. The Pharisees were great about this. They were really great at reading their Bibles, at praying in public, giving in public. Doing all their good deeds so that men would know. You know, maybe for us, it's like every time we read the Bible, we just Instagram it. Man, I did my good deed for the day. Let me let the world know. I don't know. That might not be the case. I feel like I have to catch myself on this. Jesus is saying, look, you can live a really good religious, moral life. You can do a lot of good things, and you can miss me, and your soul will be withering on the inside. You can do all this great stuff. And you won't be flourishing. You know, one thing that I think we like about like doing good is it makes us feel good about ourselves. You know, all of us are built to like work out our salvation. I think we all like want to like, I don't want to come to God and just need mercy and grace. I want to come with some like good stuff that can go, man, you're like a really great person, Tanner. You're a great person, John, Mary. Y'all are great people. You deserve to be saved. What happens is our goodness, when we try to like work out our own good deeds without Jesus, man, that takes some energy. And you can go, man, I'm doing like pretty good today. My goodness like can affect my self-esteem. I can become my own Messiah. I can become my own Savior. In the end of that, Jesus is saying, like, when you just are a good person. And if Jesus said, hey, why should I let you in heaven when you died? And you said, man, do you see all that I did? Jesus is going to say to that person, that gets you nothing. Zero. Jesus is so bold in saying this last verse. You know, apart from me, you can do nothing. I mean, think of the claim of that. Anyone apart from Jesus, everything that they do in their life, you know what it sums up to? Nothing. That is a bold and exclusive claim, and we have to deal with that. Jesus is saying we are meant for relationship with him, complete communion with him. We were meant to abide with God. Consider that reality. The God of the universe, the God of the heavens, the all-powerful, the omnipotent God, he wants relationship. Communion with God is where human flourishing just explodes. It not only benefits us when we abide in Christ and know that we are in him, his righteousness is ours, it explodes into the community. It explodes. This is how a tree works. It's like when you are in a tree, fruit just starts coming out. It's not that we have to work it out. It's just when we're part of the tree, when we put all of our hope, all of our faith, all of our trust in Jesus Christ, and we know we are fully loved, we are fully accepted in him. He knows every deed that we've ever accomplished, not all the, even the good deeds, but the bad ones. And he's saying, I love you and accept you. We start then like wanting to love like that. And fruit starts coming out in our life. I mean, he gives a really ridiculous example in a vineyard. I mean, it's a great picture for us. You can either be in him or you can try to do it by yourself. And you're like a little branch from a tree that just gets off the tree. How stupid would that branch be if somehow branches could just get off the trees? You're like, if they had brains? How stupid. I mean, it's a great picture. Why would you want to get off the vine? But that is the story of humanity. We do not trust the God who made us, who tells us how we flourish. And we want different. We don't trust. We don't think he knows what really makes us happy. You know, for me to really be happy, I have to live this way. I need this in my life. We don't trust that his law, his promise to us actually would fulfill us, would satisfy us. And a type of dying starts happening in our lives. And many in this room are experiencing that. There's a slow, you have left the source of life, which is God. He's the source of all life. And you know what's lacking in your life? Time with him. And you wonder why why you are, how you're feeling. You wonder why are you running on fumes? Why do you feel like empty? You need time. You need to abide with God. Communion with God is what our souls need. Jesus says in this passage, he says, abide in me, abide in my word, and abide in my love. Those are the three abides. Abide in me, abide in my word, and abide in my love. That's where we're going to go. This is what we need for our souls to be satisfied. And I want you to see, this is the epitome of relationship. With my relationship with Kara, you know what we need for a healthy relationship? Presence. Like, my physical presence is needed. I can go away on a journey. You know, I can go on a trip. FaceTime is just different than being on a couch with my wife. Do you guys understand that? Presence is needed. So one, abide in me. I want y'all to hear presence. Abide in my word. You know what Karen and I need to do? We need to talk to each other. We need to communicate. Communication is the root of all relationship. My son is talking to my wife right now in the only words he knows how to do. Communication is critical to relationship. So when he says, abide in my word, communicate. Talk to me. I'm going to talk to you. And the last thing that every flourishing relationship needs is not just presence, not just communication, is love. Abide in my love. This is what Jesus is going to tell us. First, let's look at this. When he says, in verse 4, he says to abide in him. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So abide in me. What does this mean? I hear you keep on saying abide, 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 Tanner. What in the world does it mean to abide in Jesus? What does that look like? That means you were meant for a real relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the first thing it means. You are not meant solely for knowledge or ideas about God or about Jesus Christ. You can know concepts. Jesus invites you to know himself. Abide in me. This is not talking about conceptualism. It is not talking about like theological education. It is talking about personal relationship. Abide in me. This is literally an invitation to live with Jesus, the person. This is a huge concept. This is Jesus is about to go to the cross and he's saying, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. Never leave me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Abide in me. Stay in me. The second thing this means for this, like abide with a person of Jesus, the person of Jesus, is abide in his righteousness. There's like no other way you can be right before God. You can either take his righteousness or you can take yours and see what eternity brings you and see what life brings you. Abiding in Jesus means I'm going to own everything that Jesus owns. His goodness will now be my goodness. I will not hold on to my own goodness. I will actually let go of my own goodness. Paul actually says in Philippians 3, where he's talking about his goodness, he says he had to consider it rubbish sewage. He had to consider the good things in his life rubbish to, you know what? Abide with Jesus. To, he says, to grab him. The picture in Philippians 3 is like, hug him. You can either take Jesus and his righteousness and say, this is my only hope, is his good deeds, not my good deeds. You can take his righteousness or yours. So here, when you're thinking, goodness, when it says, let's go back over the, you know, he's going to cut these dead branches off and he's going to burn them. Let me give you an example. The dead branches that are cut off and in a fire, those people are people that put their hope in their own righteousness. This is a crazy concept, but Jesus said, I didn't come to save the righteous. I came to save sinners. You know what weirdly that means? Only sinners are in heaven, and only righteous are in hell. That is the crazy part of the gospel. It's those who go, man, I'm going to try to do this without Jesus. Those are the dead branches that do not bear any fruit. They have no flourishing. And you know what? They might do a ton of good stuff, but with no end because there is no relationship with God himself. They did not commune with God. They got proud and loved themselves because they are such good people. Does that make sense? Is this connecting at all? You to abide in Jesus is to say, my only hope is in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me, nothing else. That's what it means to abide in me. Rest. I have died for your sins. Rest. Do you think you're going to stand in front of God one day and he's going to say, hey, why should I let you in on heaven? And Jesus, with his nails in his hand, the spear marks in his side, is going to just let people say, you know what? I read my Bible a lot. I really helped out. Whenever I saw people in need, I really helped out a lot. And I came to church like most weeks. A lot of weeks I was in church. And I was nice. I was kind. And Jesus would be like, the reason you should be in heaven is because you? I died. That's an affront. Your good deeds are actually literally would be an affront to God if you said the reason you should be in heaven is your good deeds. Jesus died for you. His nail marks in his hands and his spear in the side and all his back would shame that response. You can't have it both ways with Jesus Christ. Today, I want you to put all of your hope, every ounce of it, in Jesus and his righteousness. Leave your good deeds. Leave all your worth in your own self and your goodness behind and abide in Jesus and love that Jesus that says, I've got you. Every ounce of my righteousness, I want you to have it. I want it to flow through your veins. It just like a vine, as it comes up the root and into the vine, I'm going to put all of my righteousness into you and watch what that does. It will flourish. It will produce fruit upon fruit. And even I'm going to prune you. There's going to be some hard stuff that comes in your life, but I need to cut some of this unhealth off so that just more and more fruit happens in your life. Abide in me. That's that first section. Be with God. Be with Jesus. Put all of your hope with him. Secondly, abide in my word. He says this in verse 7 of chapter 15. Look at it with me. He says, if you abide in me, and he kind of changes his language. He doesn't say, and I abide with you. What does he say? He says, if you abide with me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. How do we abide with Jesus? How do we commune with Jesus? How, if we're with the person Jesus, how do we relate? We communicate with him. the way we communicate and commune with God is in His Word. His Word has to richly indwell us. Because you know what? His Word is over and over going to say, stop. Stop trying to accomplish your own salvation. Or stop sinning. Abide in me. His Word echoes over and over God's love for us, His plan for us, and His desire to see us flourish and make disciples of all nations. We need that daily. We need to abide in His Word. We need to communicate with God. A disconnection from God's Word is a disconnection from God. Many of you know this. When you might be there right now in a season where you've disconnected from God's Word, and maybe Sunday is the only time you get it, it feels like you're on life support. Like you just come for a jolt, like every Sunday, or maybe every other Sunday, whatever it is. I'm going to tell you, Jesus would say, the way to abide with me is listen to me. Let's talk. This is what Jesus is saying. How about we talk? I've got some incredible things to tell you in this. And then the interesting thing is Jesus, even in that verse 7, says, you know, if my words abide in you, whatever you ask, it's going to be done. That's the other way of talking. So one, His Word will abide in us. Two, then we should talk back to Him. We should pray. That's called praying. Praying is just talking with God. It's being honest. I told somebody this a couple weeks ago, but I think it's amazing, and I would just recommend, I want to challenge you. This month, today's the 3rd, pick up Psalm 3 today and just read Psalm 3. On the 4th, read Psalm 4. On the 5th, read Psalm 4. These are prayers. Some of these prayers, you're going to be like, whoa, that guy's sad. That guy's angry. That guy's elated. Every human emotion is in the book of the Psalms. One thing that's amazing about abiding in God's Word, it's kind of amazing that we're asked to pray these prayers. They're not all just nice. They're not all good. They actually will hit you exactly where you are. If you want to talk with God and read His Word, read a psalm a day. One psalm a day. Whatever day, again, tomorrow on the 4th, read with me Psalm 4. And then pray that prayer back to God. Commune with Him. Life is found in communing with God. And let me tell you this. A lot of prayer is silence. A good friendship, you know it's good when you can be in a car and just like a song comes on and you can just like be. Everything's okay with you and God. Jesus has made your relationship perfect. Sometimes you need to like read the Bible and you just need to like say what you need to say, but just sit there, be with Him. Silence can be part of it. You may be like, man, I just like prayed for 2 minutes and I don't know what to say. Just stay there. Psalm 46, actually, he tells us, be still, be quiet and know that I am God. Human flourishing happens in silence. Social media proves this. Like the more we talk, we're not happier the more we communicate. Silence could be a countercultural, incredible thing that is good for all of our souls. Some of you are going like, how in the world do I have silence when I have a 3-year-old? Yeah, some of you I know are thinking about this. One is, this is your stage. There's not much silence around. And I would say, look, God did not give us our kids to torture us. You know, he did it for our flourishing. Many of you I know in this room are like, how in the world, Tanner, am I supposed to commune with God when I commune with toddlers? You're thinking that. I know you're thinking that. And I'd say, invite them in. Communing with God can happen in a minute. It can happen in 2 minutes. Abiding with Christ is saying, you know what? I only got 2 minutes of like silence today. And because my righteousness is in Jesus Christ, I'm good. His life is running through me. It's sustaining me. Bring your kid along. Let him hop on your lap and say, I want to read Psalm 4 with you. Will you read this one line with me? And pray it. Communion doesn't always, you don't have to go be monks. Don't hear that. But you can commune with God and be a parent. And then the final thing he says was just awesome. Abide in my love. In verse 9, look at this with me. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This is literally what will change your life. For many of you, you know, you remember when you first realized God loves me. And that changes your life. It changes your soul. And you know what Jesus said? Never leave that. Live there. In the greatness, in the incredibleness of my relationship with my Father, he has loved me with this eternal, everlasting love. That is what I have loved you with. If you doubt that, you're like a dead branch. No sin. Nothing can separate you from his love. He is saying, know this, abide, stay in my love. When you believe I do not love you, you are wrong. And when you think that I do not love you, you are like a branch jumping off a tree, and that is so stupid because it's going to die. The fruit's going to rot. He says, stay on me. Know that I love you. Nothing you can do can separate you from my love. I have given my life for you. He is saying this, and he is about to go get himself on the tree and die for us. And he says, know that my blood was poured out for you. Know that my body was broken for you because I have loved you with the love that my Father has loved me with. This is amazing. I want to challenge every single one of us. The most important thing for you to do is not to go now do a lot of stuff. Some of us, we're going to hear this message and go, man, I really need to pray more. I need to go to church more. That's like weirdly the opposite of this message, which all those things are good. No, you do not. You do not need to go do these things and work out your own salvation. Here's what you need. You need God to talk to you. You need to talk to God, not because it's going to build your relationship, not because it's going to get your righteousness, but because you need that. One way that you can do this when you open up your Bibles is to try to keep from just now becoming like this, like, oh, I'm going to do. Do this. Before you open up your Bible, say, God, if you don't talk to me today, If you don't show up, I won't have life. Speak to me in this word. Put all your hope in him when you go to his word. This is from 1 John 3, this verse. I want to leave you with this. Because he ties love to commandments if you read the whole passage. Some of you go, man, I just don't feel like I'm going to bang this commandment, the commandments of God. John writes another letter to clarify some of this. So in John 3, 1 John 3, look at what he says. He goes, and this is his commandment. This is Jesus' commandment. Look at what he commands for you. That we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom has been given to us. There's one commandment, or two, you can say. Believe. Put all your hope in Jesus Christ. And let's love each other. And you know the best way to love each other is to say, God loves you. God loves you. No matter what you did, God loves you. You're forgiven. God loves you. That's the way we love each other. Yeah, you screwed up. Oh, yeah, I love you. God loves you. It's all about his love. And that starts bearing fruit in the world. I want to challenge you. If you are not, if you do not feel like you're in regular communion with God, I do want to say this is beyond everything Jesus would say. This is crucial in your life. Abide in me. Abide in my word. And abide in my love. And secondly, I want this to just be so clear. I want you, everyone in this room, to be able to say this. My righteousness is from you, God, not from myself. I abide in you. You are my only hope and comfort in this life and in my death. That's where we're going to leave it. You can have his righteousness in him, or you can have your righteousness and your soul will wither and die. Let's abide in the vine, in Jesus Christ, and commune with him. Let me pray. God, I pray that beyond anything in this room that could be said of our church would be that we are a people that love our communion with you, that we love our relationship with you. God, would you help us to avoid the pitfalls of trying to like work out our own salvation? God, would you help us and remind us that you alone are our salvation? God, that you are our Messiah, that you are our hope. God, would you work in this room as we respond to you? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.